Hello there and welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. It's great to be with you here. Well, today is going to be an interesting show. We are going to try to fit a lot in, so I'm going to have to do a lot of scripture reading today. We're going to focus on the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure when you will be listening to this program, but I know that at this point in time, Lent is officially over, and we are now in the Triduum period. And as a result, I want to read the gospel from the evening mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, and then I'll read the gospel from the celebration of the Passion of our Lord on Good Friday, and then I'll finish out by reading the gospel from Easter Sunday. So we've got a lot to cover here, but really, that's what this weekend is all about. So, I don't know, depending on when you happen to be listening to the show, you're going to be at some point in time during that Triduum, and I think that's the best way to do it this week. I want to thank you for journeying with me during Lent, and just a quick couple of words about that. If you feel that this may have not been your most productive Lent, just use it as a learning experience. I really think that sometimes the Lord allows us to fail, even if it's in spiritual exercises, so that we can realize how much we need His help, maybe learn the areas where we are weakest. There is always some good that God can bring out of it. As long as you tried your best during Lent, you tried to follow Jesus, to get closer to Him, I'm sure that He is very pleased and you can benefit from it. So you've heard me say that many times. Don't try to determine how much spiritual progress you'll make during Lent, during Advent, even during ordinary time if you're trying to make progress. Leave it up to the Holy Spirit. Just do your best and trust that the Spirit will lead you to the place where you need to be. If maybe you can trace it back and say, yeah, it is my fault, I didn't really work hard during Lent, well, even that you can use to motivate yourself for Advent, for next Lent, for those times throughout the year when you're trying to grow closer to the Lord. I've failed many times in the past. I haven't done my share many times in the past. And it really eventually got to the point where I realized that, you know, if I'm ever going to get closer to Jesus, I've got to do some work. So no matter what you did, if you had a good Lent, if your Lent was not what you expected, if you know you dropped the ball on Lent, you didn't do a good job, no matter what, let's move on. Let's use it to move ourselves to that next level in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's my advice for you today. With that in mind, let's open with prayer. Let's speak to Jesus, and then we'll get right into these gospel readings, because I said we have a lot to cover. I want to let the readings speak for themselves today. So please join me. We're going to speak to Jesus at the start of this program, because He really is the star of the show and this weekend. You're going to hear a lot about Jesus. Lots of ups and downs in the life of Jesus in just a few minutes. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for journeying with us in the desert during Lent. We pray, Lord, that the work we did, combined with the grace that You gave us, will bear good fruit, and that we will emerge at this point in time ready to grow closer to You. No matter how much progress we've made during Lent, we want to be at a point now where we will continue to grow with You, to grow more like You in our words, our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and also to get to know You better. So we pray that Lenten fruit will really begin to grow now and really propel us to the next level of our relationship with You. Lord, we lift up anybody who has asked us to pray for them, we pray for our country. We pray for those who are around the world who are struggling. We pray for those who don't know You at all, those who don't want to know You. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are struggling with addictions. We pray for those who are grieving. We pray, Lord, for those who are lonely. And we pray for all of us that we can really enter in to Your passion, Your death, and Your resurrection, certainly for the remainder of this program, but throughout this entire weekend. Thank you for all you did for us, Jesus. Please give me the words for this program and open all of our minds and hearts so that we can really hear your message and be willing to put it into practice in our lives. Lord, we ask these things of you, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I'm ready to get started. Hope you are too. If you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimek. If you're not a regular listener to this program, I hope you'll continue to listen to the show. And if you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com for more information about the work that I do and how you can bring me to speak at your parish or your conference. Followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right to it. I said I want to cover the gospel from Holy Thursday, from Good Friday, and then also from Easter Sunday. So let's do all that right now. And we're going to start with the gospel from Holy Thursday, from the evening mass of the Lord's Supper. Gospel is John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." And Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." Now, just a couple words about this gospel from Holy Thursday. You know, the church has always taught that on Holy Thursday, Jesus instituted two sacraments, the sacrament of the Eucharist as well as the sacrament of the priesthood. I always find it interesting that this is the gospel that the church chooses to be read during that Holy Thursday liturgy. And I think the message that the church wants us to take from it is the humility of Jesus. And as you and I were called to imitate Jesus, we're called to be humble, to be willing to serve others, to not look down on other people, to recognize that if Jesus was willing to wash the feet of his disciples, what should we not be willing to do? All right? It's a really powerful message, and one that may be one of the most difficult aspects of Christianity, the idea that I need to be a servant to those that maybe don't want me to be a servant to them, or maybe who I feel I'm superior to, you know? And it's very, my enemies, I got to wash the feet of my enemies, I have to love my enemies. Well, that's the example that Jesus leaves for us. And I'm just going to leave it at that and just say that my personal take on that gospel that I just read is what incredible humility exhibited by Jesus. And now as we go into the gospel read on Good Friday, Here's what I want you to remember, the incredible thing, the message, the theme that you will get from John's version of the Passion is that ultimately Jesus is completely in control of the situation, even though if you look at it from the surface, on the surface, it appears that Jesus is the victim, which he is, but he is orchestrating the whole thing. He could have stopped this at any point in time, and he did it. He did not. And because it was the will of the Father, this is how mankind would be redeemed. Jesus came to earth to do the will of his Father, to show us how much that God loves us, and to redeem us so that the gates of heaven would be able to be reopened for us, and we could live there now forever. So let's get right to it. And as I read this, again, I'm not going to do a lot of commentary. As I read this gospel, John's version of the Passion, take note of the subtle hints as we go through this, because I'm sure some of them will emerge, where we can tell that John wanted it to be known that Jesus was completely in control of the situation. John's account of the Passion differs from the other evangelists in that he is emphasizing the fact that Jesus willingly gave up his life. You know, and you'll see little hints of that as we go. So with that in mind, let's begin John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1, all the way through chapter 19, verse 42, the Passion of Jesus Christ. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?" So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guard seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. Then the maid, who was the gatekeeper, said to Peter, "You are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold, and they were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather, and in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm, and they said to him, You are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it. He said, I am not. And one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the one whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Didn't I see you in the garden with him? Again, Peter denied it. And immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning. And they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, What charge do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. At this Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews answered, We do not have the right to execute anyone. In order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here. So Pilate said to him, Then you are a king? Jesus answered, You said I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went again out to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, Not this one, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown out of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him repeatedly. Once more Pilate went out and said to them, Look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, and he said to them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered, We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid, and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him, Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you, and I have power to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. Consequently, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jews cried out, If you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench in the place called Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews, Behold your king. They cried out, Take him away, take him away, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Now, many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it will be." In order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled: "Not a bone of it will be broken." And again, another passage says, "They will look upon him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus, and Pilate permitted it. So he came and took his body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths along with the spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by. All right, so that is the Passion read on Good Friday, John's version of the Passion. And what I'm going to do right now is read the Gospel from Easter Sunday. We just have a couple of minutes left. I want to get this in. This is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. And he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. So there you go. There you have it. The passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know that was a lot of scripture today, but I thought it was important for us to hear directly from the Bible the details of the Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. We saw so much. We can get so much out of those readings, but I think the main message that's undeniable, a couple of main messages. Number one, Jesus loves you. He loves you enough that he came into this world and suffered and died for you because he wants you not to just live and be alive in this earthly existence. He wants you to live with him forever in heaven. The other message is the incredible humility exhibited by Jesus and his desire to do the will of the Father. And you know, that's what we're all called to do. First of all, we're reminded that death does not get the final say in life. Death has been transformed into the gateway to eternal life. And that's what happened when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. But now it's possible for you and I, once we die, to live forever in heaven. And that's the great thing. So I'm going to be praying for you and for your families that you have a blessed Easter filled with hope and realize that no matter what you are going through right now, and it's quite possible that you may be going through a bit of a desert right now. You may be suffering. You may not be feeling the Easter joy. I mean, that's certainly the case for many people. I'm just going to encourage you to, with the help of the Lord's grace, and I'll pray this for you too, to look beyond the rewards of this life and focus on the eternal reward that awaits in heaven. It's tough sometimes, especially when you're suffering. That's one of the things this Easter celebration does. It reminds us that this life isn't all there is. So again, with that in mind, I wish you and your families a happy Easter, and I thank you for tuning in to the program. Know that I'll be praying for you. Know that whatever you're going through, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Happy Easter, and I look forward to joining you, God willing, next week on the program. Bye-bye now.